All right, so Corey looked over at me and said, have you ever thought about writing a Bible study? And I said, no. Like, as if, I'm not going to write anything. But the Holy Spirit started working on my heart, y'all. And I was praying that week, and just a couple days later, I was sitting in my chair at the house, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was like, you're writing that Bible study. I'm like, okay, well, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord, because I just want to follow you. But if you want me to write a Bible study, then obviously you're going to have to tell me what to write it on. And so I turned to Galatians chapter 5, and all of a sudden, you guys, the outline for the study just came out of me in like 15 minutes, pen and paper, just jotting it down as fast as the Holy Spirit was pouring it into me. Hey, Lene, glad you're here. And so I knew that it was him. Of course, I threw several more fleeces out before the Lord and asked for much more confirmation before I devoted 4 to 8 hours a day for the next 5 months of my life writing, you know, the Bible study. Just wanted to make sure it was what the Lord wanted, and it was. I have a really cool testimony about when I first started writing the study that day when that outline came out. I turned to Galatians chapter 5, and I was just so excited that it had just come alive, and I knew the Lord was doing something new and giving me fresh revelation. And I have two journals that I keep most of the time. One's a prayer journal. One is a journal for when I'm reading the Word and I get like revelation from the Lord, or when the Lord really speaks to me. And so I write that stuff down in that journal. So I kind of keep two different ones. So I was looking through my journal that is my teaching journal, the one where I really feel like the Lord speaks to me and I write down. And I just randomly flipped to about halfway through to the beginning of that journal. And it said Galatians chapter 5. And I was like, oh, okay. And the cool thing was I had completely forgotten that 2 years before, when I was searching, just seeking the Lord on behalf of our church and what our church motto was going to be, the love, serve, reach, I had completely forgotten that when I came up with that, when the Lord gave us that, I was studying Galatians chapter 5. And so in my notes was from that time. And so I was reading where it said love, and then the scripture reference, and then serve, and then the scripture reference, and it was all from Galatians chapter 5. So it was just further confirmation that, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I went with it and spent the next 5 months writing a study, and then got it edited, improved, and printed, and here we are. So I honestly thought, I don't know that anybody is actually going to do the study. I had several days where I would call my mom and say, what in the world am I doing? Nobody's ever going to read this. And she and Corey were my cheerleaders along the way, going, keep going. Don't, you know, you got this, that people are going to read it. And so here we are, and our whole church family is doing the Bible study. And I'm honored. I'm humbled. I cannot believe that the Lord is allowing me to teach y'all. There is some spiritual maturity in this room beyond what I can even imagine having or possessing, one day attain to possess spiritual maturity like those of you in this room. And so it is an honor to teach you. I believe that the Lord has anointed me to teach this. And so I'm just praying for that the Lord would teach you through me, that it wouldn't just be me or my knowledge or my understanding, but that it would really be the Holy Spirit, and that we would learn together on this journey. Okay, so that was how the Bible study came about. If you have your study in hand, if you'll flip to the introduction. And before we get started, because I am going to teach a lesson tonight, but before we get started with the lesson, I just want to go over some of the specifics about the study so that you will be well-equipped tomorrow morning when you open your Bible and dive in to Spirit Lead Me. Okay, so the biggest change in my Bible study time came when I just began saying a simple prayer. I think I got it from Beth Moore. I think in one of her Bible studies, she had us pray this prayer during one of the days, and it revolutionized the way that I studied the Word of God. And it is very simple, and it is just, before I even read one word, I just close my eyes and say, Lord, speak to me through your Word today. And there's nothing profound about the prayer. there's no special incantation on the words, but what it does is it puts me in a position where I'm expecting to hear from God, because I know that if I ask for anything according to his will, that he answers. And so when I ask him, Lord, speak to me through your word today, I'm literally putting the ball in his court and going, hey, I want to hear from you, God. I'm ready to hear from you. I'm listening. I'm watching expectantly for you to speak. Speak to me. I'm hungry. I want to hear your word. And without fail, he speaks to me through his word. And so that would be the first thing that I encourage you to do. Before you open your Bible, as we're going through Spirit, lead me, pray that the Lord would speak to you through his word. And put yourself in a position where you're expecting the Lord to answer that prayer. And in case you forget, I typed it out for you at the beginning of every single lesson, all 25 of them. It says, Lord, speak to me through your word today. So if you're like me and you forget things easily, you don't have to fret. You will not forget. Okay, each day, your lesson, if you look on page 8, is the end of the introduction. And you can read that again before you start the study, because I'm not going to go through everything line by line. I'll let you read it yourself. But if you see page 9, you have day 1. And there's a scripture in the heading of every single day, just like that Colossians 1:9b through 10 is. These verses are going to serve as your scripture memory verses for the study. If you're like, hold the phone, I did not sign up to memorize scripture, I signed up to study the Bible. That's okay, you don't have to memorize the scripture. But for those of you who are wanting a little bit more, these will serve as your scripture memory. So what I like to do is have some note cards. I'll write them down at the beginning of the day, and I just kind of keep it in my eyesight wherever I'm at and just kind of meditate on it and try to memorize it that way. And guys, you're never going to regret memorizing God's word. Anytime you're ministering to someone, anytime you're praying for someone, if you're praying the word of God or you're ministering the word of God, it's powerful. And one of the ways that we're able to pray the word and minister the word is if we already know the word. So I would encourage you, if you've never memorized scripture before, maybe you should try and let me know how it goes. And I can give you some tricks. You can make up songs to scriptures. So I've got lots of little tricks if you want to know those. How many of you have never done an in-depth Bible study? Okay, perfect. Awesome. So I wrote this study with you in mind. I wrote this study in hopes that someone who has never done a Bible study before would fit right in, and that the concepts would not be so above your head that you would not be able to grasp them, or you would feel like, oh, I'm too far behind. I can't do this Bible study. But I also wrote it for the seasoned Bible scholar as well, with you in mind. It is full of scripture. My commentary may not be earth-shattering for you. It may not yield brand new revelation. I would pray that it would maybe remind and bring to remembrance things once learned. But one thing I know for sure is when you read the scriptures that are in each day's lesson, and there are many in each day's lesson, that the word of God will wash afresh over you, that God will be faithful to wash you in the water of his word, that he will bring new and fresh revelation. If you have studied the word for any amount of time, you know, hey, I looked at that passage 20 times, and today it speaks something completely different to me than it did 5 years ago or even last week. And that's because the word of God is alive and it's powerful and it's active. So if my commentary is not the best you've ever heard, then you just keep going and get into the scriptures and let the Lord speak to you through whatever scriptures you're looking up for that day. Okay, then the other thing is when you're going through the study, it's not every single day, but occasionally you will see fill in the blanks. And these are all scriptures. So for instance, it would say, I can do blank things through blank who strengthens me. And these scriptures are all taken from the NIV. So, in order to get it word for word, you'll have to use the NIV. If you do not have access, and I don't use the NIV, I use the NLT. It's easier for me to read and to comprehend. I assumed that the majority of people used an NIV, and so I use the NIV for the fill in the blanks. If you do not have an NIV, it is not that big of a deal. You can probably figure out the blanks without the NIV. And if you can't, just skip right on along and pick it right back up. It will be okay. Then the last thing in the introduction is that every day there will be daily life application questions scattered throughout each day's lesson. And I would really encourage you not to skip over too many of these. These are hopefully going to be thought-provoking. They're hopefully going to be the times where I get you to maybe answer some questions that are hard, or maybe just get you to think about, okay, well, what is the Lord speaking to me about this specific thing? And so it might be one of those things where you don't have an answer right off, but you might take a couple minutes and pray and ask the Lord. And then there may be some life of the application questions that don't apply to you at all, and you're like, no, skip it. It's not that big of a deal. This is not a legalistic type thing. Matter of fact, we're in Galatians, so we're opposite of legalistic, okay? The way that we're going to do the study, I've got the study written out as 25 lessons. And the way that I formatted the study was that there would be 5 lessons a week, so like Monday through Friday, and that it would last 5 weeks. But some of the lessons are long. Corey said that, he says, some of the days got really long, Casey, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, because that's how he talks in my mind. If I ever say that I'm going to mimic Corey, that's probably the voice you're going to get, that he doesn't really sound that way. But we are going to, I totally lost my train of thought. What was I just saying? But we are going to take 10 weeks to do the study. So today doesn't count. Today's the intro, but then we're going to have 10 Wednesdays after this. So the way that we're going to do the study is we're going to do 3 days for the first week. And then next Wednesday when we come, we're going to discuss days 1, 2, and 3. Then you're going to have 2 days left of week 1, which we're going to do that next week. And then you can use the rest of those days maybe to go back through Galatians and read through again, or maybe do some overview if you run out of time. Like if you finish the lessons, those 2 lessons really quick, then you might want to go back through and look through the other days or however you want to do it. But we are going to do 3 days and then 2 days with an overview of that week for the next week. Does everybody understand that? Did I do a good job explaining, or was that confusing? Cool. So we're going to take 10 weeks to do the 5-week study. That way, if you miss a day of homework, it is not the end of the world. Guys, if you do not do your homework, that's okay. Still come and get the teachings on Wednesday nights. We still want you here. I am not going to have you turn in your Bible study and check your homework to see if you filled in one blank. I do not care. So just come. I would encourage you to get in the habit of doing some kind of Bible study every day. It is such a good practice to make. And so that was one of the hopes that I had with writing this study, was for maybe the person who needs more of a structured Bible study time, who has a little bit more hard time just flipping through the scriptures and finding something to study for themselves for that day, then they would have some structure and be able to go to day 1, and maybe they just do half of the day in one day, but they've got 7 scriptures that they've looked up and they're studying the Word of God. And so it gets them into that practice of maybe just spending 20 minutes a day in the Word of God. And then hopefully once the study's over, you'll have that practice and you'll want to keep going and keep doing that. Okay, let's turn to Psalms 1:1. There is such a beautiful promise tucked away in these verses, and I wanted to share it with you tonight as we're talking about studying the Word of God and making it a practice to meditate on the Word of God. And we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and I just thought that this passage would be our perfect opening for our intro to Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit. So Psalms 1:1 says, "Oh, the joys for those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." I love this passage because the passage that I memorized it in says, "Blessed is the man, happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked." Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. He's like a tree planted along the riverbank, and he bears fruit in each season." And that's what we're endeavoring to do, to meditate on the word every day and to bear beautiful fruit from the Holy Spirit. Our leaves would not wither, and everything we do would prosper. So it's a promise. It's a promise that if you will delight yourself in the Lord and you will delight yourself in meditating on his word day and night, you will be like a tree planted near streams of water. You will bear fruit. Your leaves will not wither, and everything you do will prosper. It's a promise for those of us that will love and delight in the Lord and delight in meditating on his word. So I wanted to share that with you. Be encouraged by that on the mornings where maybe it's hard to get your Bible out and to do this thing. You just remember that. No, I'm going to do it because I'm going to be blessed of the Lord, and I'm going to bear fruit, and I'm going to not wither and to prosper in all that I do. And this is the way that I do that. Okay, so one of the goals for the study was I wanted to really point out some of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's why I call it Spirit Lead Me. I wanted, at the end of the study, my goal would be that you would feel like you understand the person of the Holy Spirit just a little bit more. That you would trust him as the third person of the Trinity. That you would trust him to follow him wherever he leads you. Wherever his promptings tell you to go, that you would trust him enough to obey. My heart was that you would see the way that he convicts and the way that he teaches and the way that he encourages and the way that he produces his fruit in the life of a person that's surrendered to him. And that you would learn how to listen to him and learn how to follow him and learn how to be obedient to him. These were some of the things that I felt like the Lord was teaching me as I was going through Galatians, and I just saw so clear the job of the Holy Spirit and all of it, and I think sometimes the Holy Spirit is hard for us to understand. It might be a little bit easier for us to picture Jesus or God the Father, but the Holy Spirit, even in some sects of Christianity, they probably don't even like to talk about the Holy Spirit, but he's so wonderful, and he's so gentle, and he's so kind, and so my heart would just be that you would get to know him a little bit better throughout this study. All right, let's go to Galatians. So you'll notice in your homework that we do not open Galatians until day 4 of the homework, which means next week when we come to Bible study again, we still will not have gotten to Galatians chapter 5. I wanted to set the stage. I really didn't have a plan to do that. When I approached the Bible study, I literally got in front of my computer every day and said, "Lord, what do you want me to write today? What do you want day 1 to look like?" And so if you're upset that we're not starting Galatians till day 4, you can take it up with him. Because it's not my fault. Trust me. I was chomping at the bit to get us there. I was like, "Lord, it's a study on Galatians. Why are we not there yet?" But I think that he just laid some groundwork to get us ready for what we were going to be diving into in days 4 and 5. So, however, you don't have to wait as long as I did, because I thought tonight a great way for us to get into this study would be for us to just do an overview of Galatians. What is Galatians? What was the reason that Paul had for writing to this group of people? Who were they? Okay, well, what is Galatians about? Somebody raise their hand and I will call on you. Why did Paul write the letter of Galatians? That is a great synopsis of Galatians. So if you couldn't hear her, she said that they had accepted the way of Christ, they were Christians, and Paul had taught them the way of Jesus Christ, and they had accepted it, and then some Jews came in and were teaching them that the cross of Christ was not enough to save by itself, that you had to come up under the Jewish law as well. And so Paul is writing the letter to the churches in Galatia to refute the Judaizers. That's the name for the Jews who tried to get Christians to come under the law. They're called Judaizers. And so Paul's letter to the Galatians is to refute them, to say, no, what they're telling you is not true. And here's the truth. And so that's Galatians. Okay, Galatians, you probably, if you're like, well, I'm not familiar with Galatians as far as when did they become Christians? Well, Paul went on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, and he went down to the island that's right there, and then he came back up. And when he came back inland, he went to Antioch of Pisidia, which is not the Antioch that Paul resided in. That was a different Antioch, but this Antioch was more over here. Sorry, when I look at a map, you just have to know I'm directionally challenged. I'm doing this for myself. So Antioch is one of the churches that he founded, and these are churches in southern Galatia. So Galatia is this whole province. It was a Roman province, and there are several cities within Galatia, and there were four churches within the Galatian churches that he's writing this letter to. So this letter isn't just like if you were to think, oh, well, the church in Jerusalem. Well, actually, this was to several different churches in Galatia. And it was Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Derbe, and Lystra. So some of those names may sound familiar. Paul went through them on his first missionary journey to found the churches. And then he went back through them to strengthen them on his way home. And he stopped through them on every missionary journey that he went. As he would go out, he would stop through there in order to strengthen the believers there. So he had a great, he had a relationship with them. He founded the churches there on his first missionary journey with Barnabas. Does anybody have any questions about Galatia or the letter to Galatians? We're all tracking? All right, so let's look. What I did was I went through and just reread Galatians a few times, and I just highlighted some of the portions that I thought, wow, if you want to get an overview of Galatians, you probably need to hear these portions of Scripture in order to really grasp what Paul is talking about. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to read those tonight, and we're going to do a little bit of commentary on those. Also, on day four of your study, I will tell you a brief synopsis of Galatians, and I will also say if you'd like to stop what you're doing and go read Galatians, now would be a great time to do it. So if you finish your homework early this week, you can already know that's coming up, and you can read Galatians this week. That would be something for extra. All right, so Galatians 1. We're going to start at verse 6. So this is Paul talking to the churches that he has founded in Galatia. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preached to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. How many of you can tell me what the good news of Christ is? So Paul is saying, if anyone preaches any good news other than the one that you welcomed, let that person be cursed. So the good news is, Stephen, salvation through Jesus alone. That's right. And we're going to get a little bit more into depth on what that gospel is here in just a minute as we go through Galatians. I do, if you mark in your Bible, you might mark the phrase, I don't know how your Bible says it. My Bible in verse 6 says, through the loving mercy of Christ. You might mark that. I marked it. He said, I'm shocked that you're turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. And that thought of mercy, where God, the word mercy just simply means that God does not give us what we deserve. Grace is that we get what we do not deserve, unmerited favor. But mercy is that he relents from giving us what we do deserve. And that's judgment. And that is death from sin. And he's saying, you found freedom and you're turning away from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ by not giving you what you deserve. He gave you life instead. We'll just let the Bible app continue in Galatians. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, verse 10. So we'll finish that passage with verse 10. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Pleasing people is such a trap that we are so prey to. But if we are living to please people, we are going to come to a point of decision where either we're going to have to keep living to please people or we're going to keep living to please God. And because those two roads are not, God's not going to allow us to stay on a people-pleasing path and also please him at the same time, because man's ways, we will often be called to compromise and not follow exactly what God's telling us to do in an effort to please someone else. And so Paul is saying, obviously I'm not trying to win the approval of people, because he was being persecuted. He was beaten. He was thrown out of these cities. As a matter of fact, if you go and read through Acts, he was thrown out of these cities when he founded the churches in the first place and had to shake the dust from his feet, and they left him outside of the city for dead. And if he were trying to please man, if he were to just relent to what the Jews wanted him to teach, which was that you have to come under circumcision or you have to come under the law, that the cross of Christ alone cannot save, then he would have done what pleased men. But he said, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of men. I'm trying to win the approval of God. And so that's how we have to live as well. And that's such an awesome concept there. There's only one gospel. I love that in the rest of this chapter, Paul is saying that my message didn't come from myself. My message didn't come from any of the other apostles. My message came from God himself. And he goes through and he talks about how he went away during a time and that the Holy Spirit taught him and that God himself taught him and that this gospel that he's bringing to them did not come from another source. It came from God. And so he's given the validity of his message to them. Okay, chapter 2, we'll just go through real quick. He's talking about that this problem isn't new. This problem has been going on from the beginning of our preaching the gospel. In verse 5. He says, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment because we wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. One thing that we're called to do as the church is to preserve the truth of the gospel message to the world. And we're going to have to stand in the face of persecution. We're going to have to stand in the face of ridicule oftentimes in order to do that. And that's okay, because the Holy Spirit is going to give us the power to do that, and we're going to see that as we get further into our study. But it is so important that we not water down the gospel, that we not give in to men and the way what their itching ears want to hear. We have to share the truth. And the truth is that Jesus is the gospel. He is the way. and his cross alone can save. It's a gift. It's a promise that God gave us that we receive by faith. We do not receive it by works. We cannot earn it. We have to just believe that what he said he will do, and he will do it. He even goes through and says that he had to confront Peter because Peter was led astray by the Judaizers. And then he even says, and even Barnabas was led astray. So this wasn't just baby Christians who were being led astray by teachings that were false. They were pillars in the church who were being led astray because they wanted to please man. And this is going to be a trap that you're going to see often, that Paul had to confront Peter to his face publicly, so that the other Gentile believers there would see that what he was doing wasn't right. And there may be times where we have to do the same thing, where we have to stand up for righteousness when everyone around us is doing the wrong thing. And that just might be what we're called to do. But we can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do it with humility and love, free from judgment. One of the things that I liked to think about was, okay, so Paul he's teaching the churches in Galatia to not work for their salvation, to not accept any gospel other than the gospel that was preached to them. And I think, okay, well, Lord, how does this apply to me, right? How does this apply to us? Because I don't feel any pressure to conform to the Jewish law. Does anybody? I don't feel that. I think that there may be churches who border on that, or maybe there are people who feel pressure to follow the Jewish law. But I don't necessarily feel like that is something that I deal with, and I hope that it's not something that you deal with. But I think, okay, well, Lord, what are some things that maybe I feel pressured to compromise on my faith, or when I'm looking at the gospel, how does this apply to me? So does anybody have anything that you would like to share on, as we're reading through all this, maybe a personal experience on how this applies to you? That's awesome. It really takes a spirit of humility to be able to accept when you have grabbed a hold of a false teaching and when you have really believed it and maybe even taught it yourself unknowingly. It takes a very mature, humble person to go, I was wrong. I'm wrong. And to let the Word of God speak afresh some truth over maybe that lie or that false teaching or that stronghold. And then to go, okay, I think I'm right now. Lord, show me if I'm still wrong. There's that humility. And I think that is so wise when we approach the Word of God to go, Lord, I don't know anything. Just teach me afresh. Show me afresh. If there's anything that I'm believing that's wrong, please show me. I don't want to teach anything but the truth of the gospel. I don't want to believe anything but the truth of the gospel. And I think the only way for us to be safe and to do that is to come before the Lord constantly and say, Lord, teach me. Lord, make me teachable. Make me willing to say when I've messed up. Make me willing to realize that it isn't about me or the things that I think I have figured out or that I'm doing it right and they're doing it wrong. But Lord, I just want your way. I think, especially in today's culture, we have such a pressure to perform that even the good stuff, even the prayer and the Bible study and the going to church, when it becomes a performance and something that we're doing in order to earn our salvation instead of something that we're doing because we're so in love with Jesus and we just want to spend time with him, I think that even good things like that can become a trap, that we begin to check off our daily list rather than really try to cultivate a relationship with God. Because I think in the world, it's so easy for us to think that God's way of doing things is the same as the world's way of doing things. And because we kind of understand the world's ways, because we're of the world in a way, because we're flesh, we try to put that on God. Like, we see that the world is this way and that it's structured a certain way, and then we try to think of God that way. But He's not like us. He doesn't think the way that we think, and His economy is not the way that our economy is. I think in the world, the one who has the highest position and the one who earns the most money is the most sought after. But in God's economy, it's the poor that He's made rich in faith. It is the meek and the humble that He exalts. So it's just completely backwards from the world. And so I think that, especially as I was going through Galatians, I would just say, Lord, is there anything that I'm doing in an effort to bring about my salvation, in an effort to please You? It says, without faith, we cannot please God. So am I trying to please You any other way than just believing You and feeling like I have to do that and putting that pressure on myself, but not just putting that pressure on myself, but how many of you know that when you think you need to do something, you think your neighbor needs to do 10 times that much, because we're harder on everyone else, right? We hold everyone else to a higher standard, but we give ourselves grace. And so then we become these kind of legalistic sort of Pharisees running around going, you've got to do this, and then all of a sudden it's, well, we're doing all these things, but we've forgotten about Jesus. We've forgotten just to sit with Him and love Him and let Him save us. And He's already done the work. So really, rather than work harder, we really just get to surrender and rest and receive peace of mind and receive joy in the Holy Spirit. And I know when I first started studying the fruit of the Spirit years ago, I would beat myself up for weeks because I would lose my patience. Or patience is a big one for me, but or I would lack self-control. And I would try so hard in my flesh to turn over a new leaf and to be better. And I'm going to do it. I am going to accomplish this. I am going to be kind. I am going to be patient with these people. But what I realized was I wasn't doing those things to glorify God. I was doing those things to glorify myself, because I thought, well, if I'm patient with people and I'm kind with people, then it'll please them and they'll like me and they'll love me and they'll think that I'm really awesome. But I wasn't doing it to glorify God, and I wasn't ever going to be able to do it myself. Me putting my foot down, and as strong-willed as I am, and y'all know that I am, I cannot bring about the fruit of the Spirit in my own power. It is not anything that is inside of me that's good. It is the fruit of God's character, that in a child of God who is surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit and begs the Holy Spirit to cultivate His fruit in the garden of our heart, He will do it. But it is not going to be perfect, and it is going to take a surrender and a listening and an obeying. And as we follow His promptings, the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God and the kindness of God and the gentleness of God and the patience of God and the self-control of God will be evident in our lives, because we're following the Spirit. We're not trying to work it out in our flesh and do it on our own. It's a relationship. And I think, I just love that y'all are here. I can't believe y'all are sitting here listening to me rant about Galatians chapter 5. I love that y'all are here. I love that y'all want to hear from God. I love that y'all want to study His Word. And I think that this study, if you'll let it, it's not the study itself. It's just about getting in the Word every day, that you will see the Holy Spirit doing something new and fresh in your life. If you'll just commit to getting in the study, even if all you do is look up the scriptures and read the word of God, that is the best thing that you could do. The word is better than any commentary I could ever come up with. Anyway, that was a little rant. Okay, let's get back in. We just have a couple more minutes. I just want to read a few more scriptures that we're just going to kind of, is it okay if we just gunshot these? Because I want y'all to hear them. And if you want to spend a little bit more time in them, write them down and go back and look at them on your own. Okay, Galatians 3:2. I love this, and I'm going to let this question just fall on you, because I can know what God's teaching me, but I cannot know what God is teaching you. And so I want you to listen to this question, and I want you to pretend like Paul is asking you this. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith, the real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. Verse 24. Oh, let's back up to 23. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that way of faith has come. We no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ. Like putting on new clothes. And that's the fruit of the Spirit as well, because the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Galatians 4:5. God sent him to buy for us who were slaves to the law, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Verse 9. So now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. You took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful, grateful spirit you felt then? I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? Galatians 5:4. For if you are trying, this is key, highlight it. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Verse 7, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he's the one who called you to live in freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom, my dear brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. So I say, verse 16, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Galatians 6:2, and I went through these because Paul goes through at the beginning and he's telling them not to follow the law, and then he's telling them in chapter 5 and 6 how to fulfill the law. Love your brother. Share one another's burdens. So I wanted to read that to you. Chapter 6, verse 2. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Verse 7, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. For at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. I think that the passages bring a bit of relief to some of us. Like, oh. I think that for some of us, maybe it brings a little bit of conviction. I think there may be some of us who feel both, a little bit of conviction a little bit of relief. But I don't see how you could be a born-again believer and not be completely overcome with thankfulness to our Lord Jesus when you read Galatians. You see the price that He paid, that we do not have to earn anything because He earned it, He paid it, we're redeemed, we are loved. We have the Spirit of Christ in us that calls out, Abba, Father. We are adopted. We are heirs of the kingdom of God because of faith. Because we choose to believe God. I'm so grateful for Jesus. So grateful for His sacrifice for us. So grateful for the loving mercy of God that we do not receive death, which is what we deserve, but rather we receive peace with God through faith because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about studying Galatians with you. Today I was very nervous about because I did not have any prior teachings for our intro. I hope that you got a good overview of Galatians. I hope that it was not all over the place. I hope that you're excited about doing the study and not dreading it now that you've heard me talk for an hour. I love each of you deeply. My heart for the church is that we would fall in love with Jesus and His Word. That we would be completely in love with the Holy Spirit. That we would know our God. That no one would be able to deceive us because we know the Word. And that if and when we become deceived on any point, that we are spending so much time close to the heart of our Savior that we do not stay in that lie for long because He reveals the truth to us as we come to Him with honesty and sincerity. I want to pray over you guys for the study, and that's how we're going to conclude. But if anybody has any kind of comment, I really want this to be discussion oriented a little bit. So when you do your homework, if you have something that really sticks out to you, mark it and be ready maybe to share it when we come back together. But if there's anything that anybody just wants to share, Father, I ask You to give us complete knowledge of Your will and to give us spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that the way we live will always honor and please You, and that our lives will produce every kind of fruit. All the while, we'll grow to know You better and better. I pray, Lord, that we will be strengthened with Your glorious power, so that we will have the endurance and patience that we need, and may we be filled with joy, always being thankful to the Father. For You have enabled us to share in the inheritance that belongs to Your people who live in the light. For You have rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of Your dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. We love You, Lord. Have Your way. Not our will, but Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.